week, and particularly tomorrow night, which looms as a fascinating contest, Jared. It's between the Geelong Footy Club and the Brisbane Lions. It's second against third on the ladder, and the coach of Geelong, Chris Scott, has been good enough to join us. Chris, welcome, and you must be building anticipation for tomorrow night.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, appreciate you having me. Yeah, the anticipation is building. It's going to be strange at the SCG playing Brisbane, but I think the thing that we're focusing on, and hopefully the fans watching on TV as well will be focusing on, is that there are two teams up towards the top of the ladder, in our case, albeit through percentage. But from our perspective, Brisbane are one of the great challenges in the competition at the moment.
Before we talk about the game in the last couple of weeks, Scotty, can you tell us where you are and the feeling you've got? I think you're at Coogee for memory, but if you're not, tell us about your surrounds.
No, we're in Sydney, but we're at Hyde Park.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, it's quite, the New South Wales situation seems to be a little bit different. Well, it definitely is different to the Victorian situation. But as far as it relates to us, we've effectively been in quite a restricted situation anyway for the last period, you know, when Melbourne or Victoria opened up. And then previous to that, we were in the same boat as everyone else. But really, we're no more restricted at the moment than we were when we were in Melbourne. But when we go to Perth, that'll change significantly. So we'll be in 14-day hotel quarantine. I've actually just got back from a little bit of a jog. Nothing to write home about, Jared. It was, I'm glad no one saw it in the dark. But we won't even be able to do that in Perth. So, look, it presents a little bit of a challenge, but our players will be able to get out and train once a day in a little bit of green space. So rather than being frustrated by the restrictions, we're enthused at the possibilities that present. I mean, I think there's going to be winners and losers out of the COVID roulette, at least as it relates to the AFL. But we're certainly seeing the possibilities in the next month or 6 weeks that we're away.
No more neutral a ground could be found, I suspect, than Geelong versus Brisbane at the SCG. I suspect the SCG's in pretty good shape. I know it's getting a bit of use at the present time, but if you get some sun out, it's going to be hopefully a really good spectacle.
Yeah, I think so. There's no doubt the ground's in good shape. It's, you know, it's still one of the vagaries of the competition that the Gabba and the SCG have centre wickets. So, you know, that's a little bit different. The ground's almost the polar opposite to the ground at Geelong.
Yep.
It's very short and very wide. But, you know, I mean, again, we're trying to be glass half full here. We can see the possibility in you know, playing Brisbane in a neutral venue. I think they're red hot at the Gabba. There's no doubt about that. It doesn't seem to matter what part of the year or what form they're in. That's always a big challenge. So I think that helps us a little bit. But, put it this way, it's certainly better than being in Victoria and not being able to participate.
2 degrees here this morning, and I refer to sun because I know it's going to rain in Queensland over the weekend, but you are at night, and probably the conditions in Sydney at night are less dewy at this stage on average than the conditions up in Queensland.
He may tell us.
He's hopefully going to give us a bit of an idea. Chris, you've displayed two types of football over the last couple of weeks. You come up against a reasonably predictable side in Brisbane. They're going to go forward and go forward as quickly as possible, play a bit of territory and try and lock it in. How do you counter that?
Well, the first part is they've been really strong through the contest. So I think we saw that against Port Adelaide. It was two teams wanting speed on the game, and it looked to me early in that game that Port were on top and were more than matching it against Brisbane. But as soon as Brisbane got ascendancy around the contest, they just looked so dangerous forward to centre. And, you know, it was really four or five goals in quick succession that put Port to bed, really. And that's the risk against Brisbane. They can score so quickly. So I don't think we've got any intention of sitting on the back foot and just trying to make it a dour game. That's not the plan we're going in with. But we need to give some consideration to limiting the speed that they can put on the game. So, in all my time coaching at Geelong, we've prioritised defence, but never completely at the expense of good offence. And I think our scoring numbers over the years have shown that. So you need to be able to score against Brisbane and put them under pressure But if you get done in the contest, as you say, and they can... well, I think especially at the SCG, if they win the contest, it's such a short way home and they've got some dangerous forwards and all types too, talls and smalls and mediums who can really punish you.
Chris, just one off this game, just a more general one, but you just said glass half full and I think the whole competition's looking that way at the moment. And I sense your playing group would be looking forward just to playing in front of some spectators, whether it's 2,000 or 3,000 or 10,000 or 30 or 40 over in Perth in a few weeks. It's got to be exciting for the players.
Yeah, Richard, it is really exciting. I think I heard a little bit of your commentary before I came on around the standard of footy and maybe some of the bigger teams in particular, Richmond and Collingwood, West Coast, who are used to playing in front of capacity crowds, maybe being a little bit flat. And I suspect that will change. I think you're right. But another quirk of the situation we're in, there might be a couple of thousand people there, but unfortunately, our players who we've brought up who aren't in the selected 22 aren't able to go and watch. So it's still, while it's going to be a little bit exciting, it's still a bit frustrating on that level. I feel for our first year players who have come in to a COVID season and are still yet to see our senior team play in the flesh. But yeah, 2,000 or 3,000 is better than none.
It was a celebratory game last week for a couple of legends of not just your club, but of the sport, Joel and Gary, but also another celebrated player, Tom Hawkins, seemed to find his very best form. And Asava also found some really good form and remains one of the most exciting potential stars in the competition. I've noticed over the years sometimes big blokes can get lost at centre-half forward on that particular ground you're playing in. It's a challenge, I reckon, to work out a way to get the best out of a couple of key forwards on the SCG.
It's a good point you make. Because it is so wide, there's lots of space for forwards to come up at the ball and use the width. But if they don't get used and the ball comes back through the corridor, there's no chance of getting back inside 50. So I think we've got a little bit of help from Gary Rowan, who's played a lot of footy as a deep forward, up on the SCG, who's talked us through a few of the quirks of the ground. And I think Tom Hawkins has had some success there as well, but you're absolutely right. So the challenge of resisting the temptation to look for that easy kick up the ground at the expense of getting the ball in a really dangerous spot. And I think this is a threat against Brisbane. It's quite simple. If they can get the ball back through the corridor and go fast, it's not very far from even behind the centre circle to deep inside 50 at the SCG.
Chris, you've got some of the most decorated midfielders in the game and it's going to be exciting to watch them tomorrow night up against a player at the moment who I think is just about the most informed midfielder in the competition, or I think he probably is, in Lachie Neal. Do you put some time into him?
Oh, we have to, Richard. Whether it looks as if we are from the outside with a really hard tag, and I suspect that'll be hard to see on TV. That it won't. If it looks as if we're not putting much time into him, I don't think that will reflect our intention. And we have a great deal of respect for him, and he'll have a match up all the time. But I think most sides have gone in thinking we've got to try to find a way to limit him, and they haven't really been able to do it. And I think that's been true, since Jared was playing. The best players often get attention. Most of the time get attention through the midfield, but the best ones find a way to prevail. So I haven't seen their team yet. It'll be coming out shortly, but the risk is always that you put a whole lot of time into one player, pull apart your structure and forget about Berry and Lyons and Zorko if he comes back in, and McCluggage and their running backs, Rich. And so it is always a balance between the individual matchups and your collective team defence.
You raised an interesting issue there indirectly, I suspect, Chris, but there's two elements of coaching from a TV watcher's perspective. There's performance and then there's execution, and then there's performance of the plan, if you like. There's the plan that I reckon you know about and no one else knows about, and then there's execution, and the execution may not actually be according to the plan. Do you get frustrated sometimes when there's negativity around the performance, which is attributed to a plan that actually isn't a real plan? It's just poor execution of the plan.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that I used to get a little bit frustrated, so past tense, but I've moved way past it, and I think I've got a better understanding for how difficult it is for the people that aren't privy to the plan to then analyse it. And I think what often happens is, you know, we use a resulting mindset, have a look at the result, and then re-engineer, you know, our analysis and try to work out what the plan was. Take our Melbourne game, for example, which was not a great spectacle. We accept we had a plan to play a certain way, and it worked in part, but in other times it fell down completely and it cost us a fair bit in attack. So it'd be easy to look back and say, well, we only kicked 50-odd points, played really slowly. You know, why did you go in with that plan, even though you won? But, you know, a lot of our review was around breakdowns in the execution of the plan. So, again, I used to get frustrated, but now I think I've just got a better understanding that you know, it's really difficult. And it's even harder because post-game, I think when people in the media ask us, we're loath to explain it because it's just... it's rare that clubs want to explain in great detail what they're trying to do because it just gives up any advantage that they're trying to work on with their in-house tactics.
The Brisbane Lions have named their team to take on Chris Scott's Geelong. Cam Ellis-Yolman is out with a minor calf injury. Dane Zorko comes in. Chris, we might get you to announce your team.
Yeah, no worries. So we've got Sam Simpson coming in for his first game this year, which is really exciting. He's knocked the door down really with his performance in our match simulation and the bit of match practice that we've had, albeit sort of 16v16 type stuff against opposition teams. And as was our plan from probably 3 or 4 weeks out, we're going to manage Jack Stephen out of this game. So that's our only change.
How far away is the youngster you had on the wing last week, Jordan Clark, is it? Jordan?
Yeah.
Is he far away?
No. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
Jordan had a good first year for us last year.
Yep.
And really, through no fault of his own, he's been pushed out of the side. We've decided to go with a slightly different mix. He's played back a little bit for us, but he's also played more in the midfield, which is what we're really earmarking him for right at the moment. But there are just a couple of really seasoned good players who are just a bit ahead of him. But I think he'll find his way in. I'm very confident he'll find his way in our team very quickly because he's doing everything in his power to put his name forward.
Scotty, one last one before we let you go. Thanks for your time tonight. Charlie Cameron, probably the most dangerous forward in the game if you look at his complete skill set. Do you go with a taller player on him? No, Richmond had success with Grimes, or do you match up someone more his height?
I think in a perfect world, you'd go with height against him because he's not dissimilar to a lot of the great smaller forwards, at least of the last generation. And so even Eddie Betts springs to mind. Mark Lacroix is another one who you're thought of as sort of small to medium-sized players, but what they are is great marking players. They're excellent on the ground as well, but they're terrific marks. So if you can take that away or at least make it harder for them with taller players, I think that makes sense. But then they've got to have the agility on the ground. So a guy like Grimes is actually a good matchup for him, I think, because he's so agile and you know, used to defending taller players, which you know makes him a bit more of a challenge in the air for those guys. But Charlie, I mean, there's no perfect matchup for him. He's just so good in all areas. But again, they've got Hipwood down there, Lincoln McCarthy, who we really rate, Rayner down there, the other tall with McInerney and McStay. So they're a pretty complete and balanced forward line.
Chris, we always love having you on. Good luck against the Lions.
Good on you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Scott there, the coach of Geelong.